Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp. Purdue got an early start on its 2022 football recruiting class with a commitment from quarterback Brady Allen. What's it mean for Purdue? That more football analysis on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters, Brian Newbert here as well. We'll talk to Tom Deanhart here in a couple of minutes. 2022 commitment, Brian. Can we just jump ahead to 2022? We'll just bypass everything between now and then, right? Sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is kind of football recruiting nowadays. We've talked about this over and over again. It's sort of going the way of basketball, where all of a sudden, you know, everything is moving so much faster. Whether that's, you know, June becoming the new, like, January, or guys getting offers earlier, guys committing earlier. I mean, this is, I'd have to go back, and I don't even know how I'd go about doing that, but I think this is the earliest commitment in my frame of reference with Purdue recruiting. And I've said that I don't know how many times the last few years, because I said it a couple years ago about George Karlaftis. I said it a few months later about Preston Terrell, and now I'm saying it about Brady Allen. This is just sort of the way the game is going. I mean, prior to this little run here the last few years, you know, there were the Jordan Grimes, there were the Brandon Jones, the sort of outliers for their point in time in recruiting history. But now it just seems like everything is going so fast. And, you know, obviously here's a player who was dead set all along on committing prior to his junior year and did just that. Pandemic be damned.
Yeah. 6'5" kid, you know, sort of a pocket passer, a highly rated recruit, probably a guy who would have got a lot more official offers had he waited a little bit longer. What are some of the things to like about Allen?
Yeah, obviously, you know, I mentioned on our Sunday conversation, the term we kept using over and over again was straight out of central casting. I mean, he's a quarterback. He's, you know, that 6'5" pocket presence with the laser rocket arm. And, you know, he's athletic enough, you know, to do what you need him to do back there. But also he's that guy who's, you know, it seems to me like he was sort of born to be a quarterback, sort of trained to be a quarterback, understands the position, kind of lives for the position, kind of checks every box for a quarterback. And, you know, he stood out to a lot of people right away in his high school career. People knew about him as a freshman because he was pretty well advanced from a physical perspective, but also a cognitive quarterback perspective. Obviously all the requisite skills that go with that position. He, as I said before, he kind of checks every box for what you expect or want out of a quarterback in terms of a pocket passer, a downfield passer, and the like.
I find it interesting that, you know, Purdue's commitment here in 2021 is a 5'10" quarterback, Sam Jackson. In the year next, they go 6'5". What does that tell you about what Purdue's looking for in a quarterback? That the height, that the style doesn't necessarily matter for the kind of player who can play in Jeff Brohm's system?
That's a good question. I think, you know, it's sort of, they come in all shapes and sizes. And, you know, to use another cliche, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, and there's a lot of ways to win a football game at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. I think the NFL reflects that. And I think, you know, obviously college football has always sort of reflected that because there's so many different styles of offense going on in college. I think, you know, Jeff Brohm and his staff have wanted, you know, more of a dual threat guy, the last couple of recruiting classes, but I don't think there's ever going to come a day, as long as they're here, where the number one job description for that position isn't going to be to hang in the pocket, throw the ball up the field. And I think in Brady Allen, you have that player, but you also have a guy who's athletic enough to not be, you know, to at worst not be a detriment back there. He's athletic enough to do what you need him to do, and that's what's important. You have him and Sam Jackson now in the same room. Obviously, Sam Jackson, by quarterback perspectives, standards, is sort of the really, really high-end athlete sort of guy, as evidenced by his recruiting process when he was offered by Oregon and Notre Dame as like a corner or a slot receiver, whatever it might have been. I think it was a corner. But Purdue is obviously going to have a lot of options there, a lot of different looks, you know, potentially the opportunity to, you know, use different guys at different times if that's what they want to do long term. But the most important part of it, too, is when you have good players and you have guys with the skills that you value, the important part is you tailor your offense around what they do best. And I think, you know, if Sam Jackson ultimately ends up being the guy, you know, Purdue needs to put him in the best positions to be successful. If Brady Allen ends up long-term being the guy, and we're just kind of glancing right over Jack Plummer and Aiden O'Connell here, and Austin Burton, not intentionally, but because we're talking about recruiting, whoever the guy is under center, and this goes for every coaching staff in America, in every program in America, you just have to make sure you put that player in the best position possible with your offensive system, your playbook, and your play calling. And obviously that's the part of it where the coaches have to hold up their end. But obviously when you have physical talent, you know, Purdue has some guys here, obviously it likes, again, all different shapes and sizes, and it'll be interesting to see over the long term what kind of direction they go in.
Brian, it wasn't all that long ago, as you recall, that the coach at Purdue's number one descriptor of his current starting quarterback was simply that he was tall. It's nice to see that there are some other things in these quarterbacks that might be characteristics you would list before simply their physical height.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Purdue, as I said before, I think the most important part of it under Jeff Brohm is always going to be the ability to throw the ball up the field. And that's where Sam Jackson, I don't think gets a lot of credit, because I don't think Purdue recruited him solely because he's a great athlete with great speed and great change of direction, all that stuff, arm strength, in tandem with his athleticism. And, you know, I think the only detriment there is that height. I think that is the drawback for him. But I think, you know, football at all levels has sort of shown that, you know, the right player can transcend height. I mean, the NFL is showing that left and right. I mean, a lot of the blueprints in the past have been blown up by the Lamar Jacksons, by the Russell Wilsons, by the Drew Breeses, by the whoever else. It just doesn't matter as much as it used to. And again, if you put a guy in the right system, you call the right plays, and you design the right plays, and you put the right players around him, you know, all shapes and sizes can work at that position.
Coach, what do you like about your quarterback? Well, he's tall. All right, let's move on. In this 2021 class, 8 3-star commitments. At this point in previous years, Purdue's probably had double the total number of commitments because they've really hit it hard during the camp season. Obviously, there has not been a camp season this year. What does that do, in your opinion, to the fall and, you know, trying to recruit, in theory, during a football season for Purdue?
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much, I think things have been pretty limited to this point from a commitments perspective to the people who were basically identified as targets prior to the pandemic. Now you're starting to see more offers going out to guys that, you know, perhaps Purdue didn't take as long a look at in the winter or didn't know about in the winter. There was no spring evaluation period, so even the guys who were identified as targets long ago, you know, Purdue's never laid eyes on them in person. The whole camp thing is you know, obviously out the window. The summer visits are out the window. It's a lot of people are just kind of making the best of things here. This is not a common recruiting year in any sense of the term. I think this recruiting process profiles as one where there could be some significant chaos. You know, you've already seen a good number of decommitments going on. Purdue just got hit with one over the weekend from Brian Threats, which I have to say came as a surprise. But I just think that coaches are having to make the best of a very difficult situation. Kids are having to make decisions, or not having to make decisions, but making decisions, under unprecedented circumstances, and it's just not a healthy recruiting situation. But it is the last of the world's problems right now, the football recruiting process is. But in terms of Purdue's ability to maybe match some of the star power from past classes. I think a lot's kind of gone into that. And again, rankings aren't the end all be all of everything. I think some of the higher end ranked guys Purdue had in past classes, some things profiled pretty well for them in terms of David Bell being right in their backyard, in terms of Rondell Moore having such an extensive background. George Karlaftis's ties to the university obviously being pretty significant. Now, Yanni Karlaftis is obviously still sitting out there, but I think, you know, some things have happened. Penn State's had a lot of success in Detroit. That was an area where Purdue has had a lot of success here the last couple classes. That's not to say they're not now. Obviously, Deion Burks is a pretty nice player. But just some territories, there's not a lot of talent in Louisville in terms of guys Purdue really wants this year. That's been one of Purdue's comfort zones too. So some things have happened, I guess, in terms of Purdue's ability to draw talent from some of the places where it's been able to draw talent before. So that in conjunction with all the craziness that's gone on with the process has kind of, I guess, limited Purdue's ability to get some of that star power that they've gotten in the last few classes.
You answered my follow-up earlier, but back to it here for a moment. I mean, there will inevitably be more movement, more decommitments this year. I mean, there's already a lot. I'm not just talking about at Purdue. I'm talking about in the Big Ten and nationally. It seems to me that if I was a high school athlete, I would want to get a spot somewhere, and then maybe want to still, you know, on the down low, still be recruited a little bit just because of everything that's going on, and that might lead to more movement, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that this kind of sets up, and I don't know what the NCAA is going to do about early signing periods. I don't really know what it can do because I don't know what canceling the early signing period would actually do in effect. But I do think this recruiting year obviously sets up to where a lot of dudes could be, you know, having that moment in January where they're like, I never saw this place. How come I committed there? I just committed because, like, I kind of liked them on the phone and stuff, and the virtual visit was cool, but, like, there's not a whole lot binding me to this place. You know, it is hard when you can't get a player on campus, really hard. A big thing for Purdue the last few classes, and they're not alone in this, but they do a really good job with on-campus visits. Every kid who leaves a Purdue visit leaves gushing about it. They do a great job with relationships. They do a great job in terms of their game day environment, as much as that blows my mind to say after where Purdue was, you know, 4 years ago. That's been a big deal in recruiting. And, you know, Purdue's not going to have, most likely not going to have any of that, because even if there are games this fall and even if they can have recruits at them, which is highly questionable at this point, if not wholly unlikely, and there are no fans there, or there are 25% capacity there, all of these still remain obviously very much in question. That's not the same visceral experience as coming to Purdue playing Missouri a couple of years ago at night. You know,
right?
It's just a very, very challenging recruiting process for everybody in the country, but some more than others. And I would say, you know, Purdue would probably be on the more extreme scale of that in terms of the challenges to this recruiting process. Now, you did have a lot of players in your state this year, too, who you've had on your campus and whatnot. You know, Purdue obviously has a chance to get Yanni Karlaftis here. They kind of opted out of Donovan McCulley by taking Sam Jackson first. But, you know, Purdue maybe, I'm not sure when all is said and done, how they would look back on this class in the state and say they got done what they wanted to get done. But they still are going to end up with a nice little in-state haul with the guys they already have committed. The fact that so many have been committed for so long makes them easy to forget about. Preston Terrell is a hell of a prospect, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The two offensive linemen from Mooresville both seem like pretty good players too. So Purdue's going to have its say in how the class of 2021 in Indiana, obviously that says nothing about Yanni Karlaftis.
Right.
You know, Purdue's going to have its say in terms of the class of 2021 in Indiana too.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
No problem. See you.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back, bring in Tom, talk a little bit of football as training camp is supposed to get underway in about 2.5 weeks. We'll discuss whether that will happen. That's coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's HomeFieldApparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Kyle here with Tom talking a little bit of Purdue football. Tom, there was real-life summer MLB exhibition baseball on the television yesterday. That's got to be a good sign, maybe?
Yeah, anything of that ilk is good news, Kyle. Sounds like NFL players aren't real pleased with how their league is creating a safe environment for them as they prepare to head to their various facilities. So we'll see. A lot of questions, as you know, are hanging in the air, and all fingers are crossed that we can get this season in.
There's been a lot of talk about college football of the major sports, which I assume you throw college football in with some of those professional ones just because of the money involved, that college football is probably the most difficult to get off of the ground because of all the moving parts, different leagues, no commissioner, players who you can't put inside a bubble. Do you agree with that assessment that college football among, you know, the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey perhaps, might be the most difficult to get this thing going?
Yes, 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 yes. I mean, so many moving parts and pieces, Kyle, as you and the listeners know, the amount of players involved with football make trying to play safely under these conditions seemingly impossible, right? Then you multiply that over 100 FBS schools. The fact these guys aren't paid professionals, they're student athletes, they're supposed to be going to class as well, so there's that academic component too. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Of all the sports that they're trying to get off the ground here amid this pandemic, college football is without a doubt the most difficult. And as you alluded to, Kyle, the financial ramifications, should there be no season or even an abbreviated season, boy, again, those repercussions are going to be far and wide. We've already seen some of those throughout college sports. So it's going to be interesting. I talked to a coach in a Big Ten school last week and sort of discussed if there were games, maybe what they could look like. And he thought home teams wouldn't be dressed in 100 guys. There'd be fewer guys on the sidelines. Talked about face shields, coaches wearing masks, you know, players swapping out gloves and jerseys. If not with every series, at least at halftime. So if we get games, they're going to look a lot different, obviously, too.
Yeah, man, you talk about revenue. I think at Purdue, you're probably talking about what, loss of $50 or $60 million if you don't play football this fall.
Yeah.
That's an unbelievably high number. I don't know that for sure, but that to me feels like approximately the right number.
Yeah, I think Babinski and others had reported that Purdue's budget, I think, is $103 million, and they're already were trying to lop off $10 million from that. And who knows, maybe that was a conservative reduction. It may go a lot deeper than that, as you talked about, Kyle. And money's got to come from somewhere. There's no real massive rainy day fund, right? I know you've alluded to the fact that that's not there for these schools. So the cuts have to be made. I'm sure travel will be affected. Schedules will be affected. who knows, maybe there'll be pay cuts, furloughs. I mean, just going into territory you don't want to see anybody have to go into.
Yeah, I mean, we're going down a path I didn't necessarily intend here this morning, but the debt is the problem. All these schools, including Purdue, borrowed against future earnings, right? Just like you do. You mortgage your house.
Sure.
You expect to be able to pay the bills for the next 30 years. Purdue and other schools in the Big Ten, with the Big Ten Network and ESPN and everything else, hit that debt. And those bills still come due, which is the problem, right? I mean, the bank's just not going to forgive the loan, clearly.
Exactly right.
We've already seen one layoff by Purdue this morning, and I'm sure there will be more, or was more. I mean, that's going to hit not just Purdue that has to make difficult decisions. It's hard to pin the blame just there. But, man, the longer this goes on, the more hurt it's going to be for a lot of people.
Yeah, the spend mentality that college athletics has had for so many years, the gluttony, the being washed over with all this TV money for all these years, it seemed like the spigot never was going to get turned off, right? As soon as the money came in, it seemed like it was spent, oftentimes on lavish facilities. And again, like you said, there's a debt service to be paid at all these schools. Alan Karpik talked to Tom House and Mark Herman last week for a story on the site discussing the Ross State renovations, Kyle, and sounds like they're still raising money for it. Still all systems go. I saw conversely where Wisconsin had a massive football project that they announced they were going to put on hold as far as trying to raise money and continue with it. So it will be interesting where Purdue goes with this Ross State renovation that we've heard so much about the last couple of years or so. But in the interim, like you said, buddy, there's debt to be paid on that football facility, still on the Mackey renovation 2011. I'm sure other projects I'm not even privy to. As you said, those bills keep coming to the mailbox, don't they?
Baseball, softball facilities, which were, at least for baseball, was packaged in with Mackey Arena and that project. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a lot, no doubt. So to football itself, training camp is scheduled to open in 2.5 weeks. That feels like basically tomorrow. Man, it both feels like tomorrow and it feels like it's years from now. How does Purdue and others get going for a training camp in that amount of time when there are so many unknowns?
Well, I think the first thing we all have to know is, when is the season going to start? Because, Kyle, we've been told time and again, these teams are going to need a six-week lead-in to their first game, right? So we're going to have to count backwards from whenever that first game is. And should the can get kicked down the road as far as the first game goes, I'm sure training camp won't start when we envision it in early August. So stay tuned. I think we could see something from a Big Ten scheduling standpoint. Maybe this time next week, that last week of July or early August, I would think, at the latest. So I think that's going to be a key hurdle to clear first. And then as far as the machinations and how the logistics of training camp are going to be laid out, boy, I don't know. I say good luck to you having 100 guys running around out there on the field trying to train to play football. Could be tough. And then, Kyle, we've talked about this too, what happens when all these students come back to campus as well. 40,000 kids dropped in that deeply, densely populated campus. Football players are going to have to walk on that campus due to class, right? So, again, I can make my head dizzy thinking of all the potential dangers here.
I mean, we're 6 weeks away from the opener right now, right?
I haven't counted back. I think you're probably right. We've got 2 weeks in July and then what, 4 in August, right? So I think you're probably right. September 5th. At Nebraska was Purdue's open. That was the first big weekend of college football. There were a couple games in late August, but that first huge weekend was supposed to be September 5th.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. A lot of decisions to be made here in the next couple of weeks, no doubt about that. Luckily, we're not the ones making them. Hopefully, hopefully they'll be good ones. That's all you can say, right?
I have enough time trying to decide what I'm going to have for breakfast every morning. So it's going to be crazy. It's so crazy how life changes quickly, and who would have thought we would be talking about this 6 months ago, let alone a year ago? I shudder to even think what we're going to be talking about 6 months from now, but it's going to be fascinating, especially in August, Kyle, fascinating, when kids start coming back to school, football starts hopefully trying to get played. These next 3-4 weeks are going to be very, very interesting and very, very significant, I think.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Tom.
Be good, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with a wrap on this podcast. That's next. This is Golden Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
The Chargers team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text, 765-412-5217, and email as well at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Much more in football and football recruiting on the site, goldandblack.com. Check it out today. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Back again to drop these podcasts wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts on Monday. There are others as well, of course. All right, thanks to our sponsors, including Homefield Apparel. Well, you can find goldandblack.com merchandise right now. East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team, and RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. For Ryan Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.